Audrey up there, and that's her puppy, Max. And last week, I just wanted to share this with the whole congregation. I asked Travis and Jennifer if I could do this, and also asked them to send me a picture of Audrey with Max, and that was taken last Monday, I think it was, after he came home from the vet. But last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and Audrey came up with her dad for prayer with Travis, and she was distraught. She was crying. She's really happy right now, see? She's real happy today. And she was crying, and I was like, wow, what's going on? And I knelt down by her, and she couldn't hardly even talk and tell me what was going on. She was crying so hard, and she kept saying, Max, Max. And that's about as much as that. So I looked at Travis. I'm like, okay, Dad, fill in the blanks for me. And so Dad told me that their little puppy had got parvo, and they had to take him to the vet. And, you know, and he was so he was at the vet, and Audrey was wanting me to pray for him, me to pray with her for Max that he's going to pull through all that. And so we prayed. And so I prayed with Audrey, and I said, Audrey, I'm praying that your little puppy's going to be safe, and he's going to be healed in the name of Jesus, and I'm praying that you're going to hear something very soon about Max. And we said amen, and she said amen. And I'm going to be honest with you, Pastor Mark stood up and said, Lord, you better come through. That's what, in my mind, in my heart, I was telling the Lord that. And then we went on with Easter service after our prayer time. And after church, I was back there greeting everybody. Well, here comes Audrey out of the children's church room, and she is laughing and crying at the same time. Have you ever had that happen? She's laughing and crying, and she couldn't wait to come and tell me that they just heard from the vet that Max was okay, and he's going to be able to come home and see her on Monday. And so, yes, give the Lord a hand clap. And so that's Max and Audrey on Monday taking that picture. So I was just like, I have got to share that, because that built my faith. I know it built Audrey's faith. And I want it to build your guys' faith. We can ask any. God cares about everything that is going on in our lives. And so that is so awesome. All right. I'm glad Max is okay. You're ready to go home and see him right now, aren't you? I can tell. All right. I just about said, we're going to be a church that brings pets. And I was like, no, we better not do that. We better not do that. Patricia will kill me. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you that the fruit of the womb is your reward. These are little blessings sent to us and from heaven. And God, I just thank you so much for childlike faith, God. And thank you that Max is doing good and he's healthy. And just thank you so much for answering that prayer for Audrey, God, and for all of us to partake of that and build our faith as well. That God, that you care about everything that's going on in our lives. And so God, I just pray just a special blessing over these kids today. I thank you that they're going to go back in the back and they're going to have fun and learn about Jesus. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Go have fun and learn about Jesus. All right. Give them a hand clap this morning. Love our kids. Amen. And you've got your bulletins. I hope everybody does. If you don't, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. And you can take notes on the back of the bulletin this morning. There's some fill in the blank. And we're picking back up our series. These are really, even though this is a series on the book of Nehemiah, this is basically a standalone messages. So if you're here and you're like, I haven't been here for this whole series, it's okay. You're not going to miss anything. But you can go back on hfchurch.com and watch the other podcasts or listen to the other podcasts. And but we've been in this series on Nehemiah, and it's more than just a wall. We've been learning principles from Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the man of God that God, he was the leader that got together with people of Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. And in fact, I'm going to give you a little Bible history here. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. You don't have this in your notes, but you can write this down, Luke 17, 11 through 19. We're going to read that here in just a second. But I'll just give you a little Bible history on Nehemiah. In 587 B.C., Babylon had attacked Jerusalem and destroyed its walls and the temple. All but a few of the people of the southern part of Israel were removed from their land and deported to Babylon, where they suffered in captivity. Almost 50 years later, in about 538 B.C., Persia defeated Babylon, and Cyrus, the king of Persia, began to send some of the people back to Israel. And in his first year as king, he sent a group back to rebuild the temple, which they did. But nearly 100 years later, Nehemiah, an exile from Israel who had risen to become the cupbearer for the current Persian king, learned that the walls of Jerusalem were still in ruins. So for 100 years, for over 100 years, the walls of Jerusalem had been in ruin. And with the help of other people, and this is the whole key of this message today, we always think of Nehemiah and the wall of Jerusalem, but it took a whole tribe, a whole community of people to rebuild this wall. Yes, he led the way. He delegated authority and did all those things. But with the help of other people, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. That's powerful. And they'd been in ruins for over 100 years, nearly 100 years. And so it just tells you that a group of people can do great things when they're unified and have one mind and are in one accord. But so kind of give you a little heads up about what we've been going through in this study of Nehemiah. We've been learning principles from Nehemiah. There's seven principles for putting it together again using the walls of Jerusalem. And so you can apply these principles to your own life, whatever you're rebuilding. Could be a career, could be a job, could be a marriage. It could be a host of things. We're all in the rebuilding phase, right? Look at somebody and say, you're a work in progress. Every one of us are a work in progress. So we've went through a couple of these already. I will find the strength to start. Sometimes it's just that we need to start, right, on that rebuilding. Number two is I will take the first step. You got to take those steps of faith, and this is what I love about God. Every day is a new day with God. If you messed up the day before, today's a new day. Number three is I will appreciate others, and that's what we're going to learn today is how to appreciate other people, because on your journey, God puts people around you. We all need each other. And then number four, next week we'll be talking about I will expect and reject opposition. I will build on my successes. I will celebrate to sustain my joy, and I will dedicate it all to God. Those are the things that we're going to be learning. But today, and you may have heard this, or you may, if you're a grandparent or a parent, you've probably told your children or grandchildren this, and this is the title of the message, Say Thank You. Look at somebody and say thank you. Now, I know this is going to be a very elementary, very practical teaching, but I'm going to tell you what, there's power in those two words when you say thank you, and you mean it from the bottom of your heart. Thank you to God, and then thank you to other people that are in your life. We have a little grandson, you know, Jarek. He was here last Sunday, and so we've started teaching him. He's learned mama and dada. He still hasn't got the word poppy down. When I look at him and I say, Poppy, and he goes, da, da. I was like, I'll take that. I'll take the da-da, long drawn out da-da, you know. But something that his mom and dad and Jade and I have started doing is we tell him to say thank you. And here's how he says thank you. I'm trying to do it like Jared does. He goes, thanks. It's the big tank, so it's real deep, and I love it, so. That's Jared. But we all, and no matter the age you get, yes, we teach our children that, but as we get older, we need to learn how to say thank you and say thank you more often to God and to people around us. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to show you something in the Gospels, and it's about the one leper that was thankful. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it says, Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is talking about Jesus. It says, Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So they had to take that step of faith as well. They had to start and take that step of faith. Verse 15, it says, And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Thankfulness is, if we take this story to heart and literally, thankfulness is a part of the gospel of giving God thanks for our salvation, and we need to do that every day. There's great power in using people's, here, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. The sermon in a sentence today is the words thank you have great power to energize your life. All right, that guy came back and said thank you to Jesus. And he said, because that you said thank you, you're healed, you're whole. And what he meant was, in that word whole, he was whole spirit, soul, and body. And so the words thank you have great power to energize your life, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? And the word appreciation means to raise something in value. You're going to hear me use the word thank you. You're going to hear me use the word appreciation. You're going to hear me use the words grateful. They all mean the same thing. Appreciation equals encouragement. When you thank somebody, does that not encourage them, right, when you thank somebody? One of the things I love about whenever I go back here at the back, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, is, and I'll go home and I'll ask Jada. She tries to beat me to it because I was like, okay, did that message, did it go forth right or did it just flop? You know, she goes, no, it was a pretty good message today. I want her to tell me before I ask, right? You know, and so we have that little deal going on at our house. And I love when I go back here to back when people come by and they say, Pastor Mark, that was a good sermon. Even if it's not a good sermon, just tell me it was a good sermon, okay? Because it helps me. It brings encouragement. But here's the other thing is when you're a person that's thankful and appreciative and grateful and you're displaying that to others and telling other people that, it encourages you as well. It does something. It energizes your life, spirit, soul, and body. So look at somebody and say thank you. All right, Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm not going to read Nehemiah chapter 3. I encourage you to read it, because there's a lot of hard words in Nehemiah chapter 3. There's a lot of names. There's actually 32 verses in Nehemiah chapter 3, and I thought about reading it, but it was going to be like this. Next, hard word, next, hard word, next, hard word. Because what Nehemiah does is he goes around the wall of Jerusalem, and he's thanking everybody that helped rebuild the wall. And they've got some names, okay? They got some those hard biblical names. But Nehemiah chapter 3 gives practical insights for how to begin to say thank you to the people we work with, the family that we live with, and the believers that we serve with. It shows us how to develop the skill of saying thank you by being specific, sensitive, and searching. And that's our 3 points today. You're going to learn how to be specific in saying thank you. You're going to learn how to be sensitive while you're doing it. And you're also going to learn how to be searching while you do it. Saying thank you is an art, all right? It's an art form. Saying thank you is something that we're not born with. It's something that you have to develop. It's a skill that we can all develop. I'll give you an example. One time in business, so this happened to me in business years ago, from 1994 to 2004, I did real estate appraisals. And there was a mortgage company. They're no longer open now, but they opened up in Weatherford years ago. And I heard about them, and I was like, well, there's another one I can add to my list. I hope I can, you know, do an appraisal for them. So I put my name in the hat. They called me to do an appraisal on a house in Weatherford. So I went and did this appraisal. And after I got done with the appraisal, I sent them a thank you note in the mail, handwritten thank you note. Sent it to them and sent it to that mortgage lender. He called me a few days later after he got this. I didn't know it. He'd already got this card. He called me. He said, hey, Mark, you going to be over here in Weatherford anytime? I said, yeah, I'm planning on being over here at the end of this week. And he said, well, he goes, I want you to stop by the office. I need to visit with you about something. I was like, oh, gosh, did I do something wrong on the appraisal? You know, I'm already going negative. And so I came to his office and went to his office and sat down. And he said, I just want to commend you for in business for writing me a thank you card. And I was like, really? He said, yeah, you wrote me a handwritten thank you card. And I have never, Mark, had anybody do that. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, you know. And he goes, but because, and this is the exact words he said, but he said, because you did this, that made such an impression on me, you're going to get all my business. And I was just walking out going, thank you, Jesus, you know. But that's the power of saying thank you. I can't tell you enough how powerful it is. And it'll energize you, spirit, soul, and body when you start doing it. All right, there's going to be 3 points, and you've got them on there on your notes. And this is number one, fill in the blank. Be specific in your appreciation. Everybody say specific. Don't just be general about your thank you. You need to get specific. And I wrote down, say their name and say what they did, okay, or how they acted. Maybe it was their character. Maybe it was their honesty or their integrity or whatever, their character. And I found this, I saw this slide on Facebook the other day, so I wanted to put it up there because I know we got some coaches in the house, and this is a big basketball and baseball community. And that's Coach Dean Smith back with number 23 in North Carolina. That's Michael Jordan there, who I believe is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, okay? And I know some people disagree with me, but I think he was the GOAT. And I love what his coach told him. It says, when you make a basket, because this dude made a lot of baskets, all right, you point to the player who threw the pass. That applies to not just basketball, but everything we do. No one makes it through life without lots of assists. And I thought, man, that is good. You know, and I was just sitting there, when I read that, I was like, I would have loved to have been the guy just dishing the ball to Michael Jordan in a game, you know, watching him shoot. But a lot of times in our society, people want to be the Michael Jordans. They don't want to be the guy doing the assist. Michael Jordan needs somebody to, you know how to pass the ball to him so he can shoot. And I've learned that one of the things in life that'll make you more thankful is knowing what your role is, okay? Not everybody is a Michael Jordan, okay? Sometimes when you need I'm just going to use the basketball team, and I know I got a coach in here, and I've never coached basketball in my life, but I do know that there are people, there are shooters, there's passers, the people that do the assists, there's the guys that are the ladies that can play great defense, but they may not be a great shooter. But you need them on the court anyway because they have a role to play. And sometimes we get our roles mixed up because we're all trying to be Michael Jordan. There's only one Michael Jordan. You may not be him, right? But when you know your role, then you can really be thankful what you're supposed to do. And that's just and then you're not living your life going, well, I'm just not Michael Jordan. I'm not Michael. Well, be the guy that passes him the ball and enjoy doing that. And everybody said? Okay, so be specific in your appreciation. And this is Nehemiah 3, verse 12. And I'm just going to read this scripture because it really stood out to me out of all the... And I encourage you to read Nehemiah 3, and you can see all why I did not read it today because of all the hard names in there. But it says, and next to him was Shalom, the son of... See, hard word, Halohesh, leader of half the district. So he's a leader of half the district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters made repairs. So this guy was a leader in Jerusalem, but his whole family was involved in making the repairs there in Jerusalem. And so I just wanted you to see that Nehemiah was specific in his appreciation. He said their names, and he said what they did. He didn't know all the daughters' names, of course, you know, but he appreciated them. And there's great power in using people's name. Using a name says, hey, you are important. All right, so use people's names. In that passage, in Nehemiah chapter 3, and I'm just going to tell you I'm telling you again, go home and read it. You'll understand what I'm saying. But there's 45 different personal or group names are used in chapter 3. I'm going to say it again. 45 different personal or group names are used in chapter 3. So it was more than just Nehemiah that rebuilt the wall to Jerusalem. This week, the week before Easter, just going to tell you about something that happened to me that really encouraged me was how many of you know the oil field is not doing so great around here, right? Okay. And something that I do is I'm a marketplace chaplain and here in Western Oklahoma, and there's a couple of, like the Lacey's, one of the businesses that we call upon, Lou Gregg Trucking out of Elk City and Thomas Yards, and also Lock Supply. Those three companies have marketplace chaplains. It is a nationwide chaplain deal that, and I was asked to be a part of that. But what we do is we go to these businesses once or twice a month and just go in and say hi and, you know, try to make relationships with these guys and ladies that work at these places. And it's been a really neat ministry. Because I've actually got to minister to some families and actually help some families through grief and doing memorial services or a funeral and stuff like that. And Lou Gregg Trucking, for me to catch all these guys, because they're truckers, they have once a month, they have yard meetings. And they happen at 7 a.m. So I have to get up really early and make those yard meetings. And really all they ask me to do is just be there in my presence. And then they ask me to... Most generally, they'll ask me to pray over the meeting, or I'll either pray over it or pray over when we dismiss. and it's just a real neat deal and getting to know the guys and all this. And so it's Oldfield, right? So I go in there, and these guys are using four-letter words and all kinds of stuff. And then somebody will say, oh, that's a chaplain. And they'll go, oh, my God. You know, I was like, that's okay. I'll say them right along with you. I've built a good rapport with these guys at Lou Gregg Trucking, and they know that I'm real, and they know they can come and talk to me. And so there's been some really good door openers in ministry, because I believe that ministry, yes, I'm a pastor here, but ministry happens outside these four doors, outside these four walls. And that's where it happens at. And every one of us, just because I'm a pastor, every one of us in here, you're chaplains, you're ministering to somebody, whether it's, you know, coaching kids or whatever. You're meeting people in life that I'll never meet. And so their boss, his name is Greg Kennedy. And I go to these meetings and I hear, you know, they're teaching these guys lay off the gas. You know, they're trying to cut costs every way they can, because it's crunch time in the oil field. And so I've heard these meetings and how they're hurting financially and stuff. And Greg Kennedy sent me the CEO, and he comes to some of those meetings, and he sent me an Easter card, and he says, Mark, thank you so much for your faithful ministry to our team. May you truly experience the fullness of joy and victory this Easter season. It is finished, Greg. And in this card was a $200 gift card, you know, and and sometimes your thanks doesn't have to have finances attached to it, okay? But that really ministered to me, because I know what this company is going through. And as soon as I got this card, guys, I said, God, open up the windows of heaven over this company. And I pray that all the time over Lou Gregg. It's a Christian company, and that really ministered to me. Just, you know, guys, what my prayer was this morning when Jay and I were driving in, I was saying, God, not only is this for me, but I'm praying this for all of us, that we will become more thankful people, and that we will thank our parents, we'll thank our grandparents, we'll thank family members, we'll thank people that we work with, we'll thank people, you know, that we come in contact with, we'll thank people that we know that are unseen or behind the scenes. Thank those people. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Because, and I just a little side note here, Harvard Health study, this was done by two psychologists, and they had three groups in this study. It says they wrote things they were grateful for. This is the first group. They wrote things they were grateful for that occurred during the week. And then the second group wrote about daily irritations or things that displeased them. How many of you have those? And then number three, the third group, they wrote about events that affected them with no emphasis on being positive or negative. They did this study for 10 weeks, and after 10 weeks, there was a noticeable difference in group number one, the thankful group. They were more positive and more optimistic. They felt better about their lives. They even exercised more than the other two groups, and they were also more healthy. There's power in thank you. Look at somebody and say, thank you. All right, here's number two. Number two, be sensitive in your appreciation. Be sensitive. That's the second S word. There are four ways to be more sensitive in saying thanks that we see modeled by Nehemiah. And here's number one. Number one, recognize, and I wrote them in your notes there for you, recognize the heart behind the action. Recognize the heart behind the action. And I love Nehemiah 3, verse 1, and then I'm going to read verse 20 as well. It says, hard word, the high priest, Eli, the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in its place, building as far as the tower of the 100, which they dedicated, and as far as the tower of Hananel. And so what Nehemiah was saying, their heart behind, that not only did they rebuild the wall and rebuild the gate and rebuild the doors and all the things that they did, but while they did it, they dedicated it to the Lord. And it's pretty awesome. So he was noticing their heart behind the action. In verse 20, he says, next to him, Baruch, son of Zabal, zealously repaired another section. So here he was saying, I saw him, and he was zealously getting after it. He was getting her done. He wasn't just like, oh, God, you know, Nehemiah said, let's rebuild it. You know, why do we need to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem? It's been like this for 100 years, you know. That wasn't Baruch. He was getting after it. He was zealously repairing another section from the angle to the entrance of the house of Eli, the high priest. And so, guys, you can tell a lot about somebody's character by the way they put their heart into something, okay? And give you a little side note here, okay? Two ways to know a person's character. Everybody ready for this? Number one is the way they drive. Oh, God help us all. I've told Jada on many occasions when I start driving, I lose my salvation. I think it's gone for a little bit. No, you can't lose your salvation, but it's a joke between us. The way they drive, and here's number two. This is a real subtle one. The way they eat popcorn. Some people eat popcorn like one at a time, you know, real daintily. And they don't get it on them at all. And I'm gonna tell you guys how I eat popcorn. And this is probably how I do life. I eat popcorn like Cookie Monster, all right? And Jada knows because it's all over the floor at my chair, all right? That's how I eat popcorn. All right, just little side notes there. Number two, recognize those who put in extra effort. Recognize those who put in extra effort. I'll go back to number one real quick. Sometimes, guys, whenever, you know, I know we got some young people in here for a job interview and stuff. Yeah, they're going to ask you questions, but they also watch they're looking at your character and your heart. I've heard that a lot from even college coaches that are looking for players, that they look at their, you know, they want them to be talented and know the game, whatever it is, softball or whatever, but they also look at the heart with which they play and their character. That goes a long way. Number two is recognize, the second one is recognize those who put in extra effort. You know, in this day and age that we live in our society, you know, we've created a society where everybody thinks they need a trophy and everybody gets a participation trophy. That's not the way God does things. Extra effort or going the second mile merits extra recognition and an extra thank you. And everybody said, amen. Okay, don't forget this. You can use this in life. Nehemiah 3, verses 4 and 21 says this guy named Meremoth. I'm going to call him, you know, when I first read that, I was like, was his name Werewolf? No, it's Meremoth. Son of Uriah, the son of repaired the next section. All right, verse 4. All right. Now look at this. Jump down to verse 25. And I love this because Nehemiah mentions him twice. Next to him, Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, whatever, repaired another section from the entrance of Eli's house to the end of it. So this guy repaired two different sections, all right? And so because he put in extra effort, he got mentioned twice, not just once, but twice. Okay, here's number three. Number three is single out leaders for special recognition. You know, in any kind of situation, whether it's, you know, I'd use coaching a lot, different church, there's always the leader that rises up, okay? And so single out leaders for special recognition. In Nehemiah 3, verse 9, it says, Rephaiah, son of Hur, ruler of half district of Jerusalem. I know I'm butchering all these names bad. Repaired the next section. Maybe I needed to study some Hebrew before I prepared this message, but y'all get it, right? All right, go home and read it and just say hard word, like I have this whole time. But single out leaders for special recognition, and that's what Nehemiah did. He singled out this guy because he was a leader of the half district of Jerusalem. He said even he repaired the next section. All right, now here's something that we don't hear a lot in society about when we get up and say thank you to people. Number four, this is something Nehemiah did that a lot of us miss. He offered words of correction when necessary. Okay, now they got to be in balance, and so here's the balance. There's 32 verses in Nehemiah chapter 3, and only one verse he offers correction. So we need to be more thankful than we ever are correcting someone. Everybody said, if you're married, listen to that. If you have family, listen to that. They don't, you know, we all the time we want to offer words of correction. What they need to hear more than that, I'm not saying you never correct, you know, a child or, you know, between a husband and wife, but they need to hear thank you a whole lot more, okay? And so verse 5 out of Nehemiah chapter 3, it says, the next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles who would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. Boy, Nehemiah just tells it like it is. Now, here's what I want to tell you something. I promise you, the men from Tekoa were like, Nehemiah noticed that. Do you think those men from Tekoa would serve Nehemiah even more? Yeah, because he pointed that out. He said, I know you guys had to shoulder some extra work because your nobles wouldn't do anything. And I saw that. So Nehemiah called it out. So offer words of correction when necessary. That's something that you don't hear a lot today, is it? Okay, number three is be searching in your appreciation. Here's the last one. Be searching in your appreciation. To become an expert at expressing thanks, you need a way to think about your thanks. Everybody say, think about your thanks. Okay. And this is what I'm praying that you walk out of here today, thinking about your thanks. You need a system that works for you. And Nehemiah remembered by going around the wall. When you read that Nehemiah chapter 3, he's like, the next section, he just went around the wall. So he had a system in thanking everybody. Even though he didn't know everybody's name, he always highlighted somebody in that section that did their work. So be searching in your appreciation. Because I can tell you guys, leave here today saying thank you, and you'll go out here and you'll text somebody thank you, or maybe send a card this week, and then here goes the rest of the week. So we need to have a system. So I'm going to give you some practical ways to do this, and I'm teaching myself something today as well. Practical ways to think about your thanks. Number one, use the days of the week, all right? Monday, I'm going to thank my family. Tuesday, I'm going to thank my coworkers, however you want to do it. Or you may just say, you know what, I'm just going to have one day where I do it, Thankful Tuesday or Thankful Thursday. So think about your thanks. Some people use the rooms in their house. They go from the living room to the kitchen, and each room they remember people that they need to tell God thanks for. Use your day planner if you go buy a day planner, or on your phone. Use your weekly to-do list. Thank five people each week, Monday through Friday. Thank a person each day. And if you can't do that, you say, Pastor Mark, that's too much. At least do one a week. All right. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to do one person this week. All right. You're going to thank one person this week. All right. Here's special occasions like birthdays and anniversaries. Take a moment to say a specific word of appreciation. Don't just, you know, don't let Hallmark do it. That's what I'm saying. You know, sometimes we just get a Hallmark card and we just sign our name to it. So there, you know, Hallmark did it. Actually write out a word of appreciation, something specific that goes with them. And here's two powerful ways to motivate yourself to say thank you. Number one, appreciate others when you're being appreciated. So when you get appreciated, pass it on to somebody else. All right, don't deflect it. I mean, still, when somebody says thank you for that, you just say you're welcome, but then be sure and appreciate somebody else. The next one is appreciate others when you're feeling unappreciated. That's the other, so basically that covers it all the time, appreciating others. Appreciate others when you're feeling unappreciated. All right, here's the last thing. We need to, every day, guys, we need to be thanking God. And what I want you to learn is use his name, okay? There's other names in the Bible for God. You know, Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi means he's my banner. Jehovah Rapha, there's all kinds of these names, Jehovah. And I just encourage you to study the names of God. Thank God. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Use his name. He likes to hear his name. God likes to hear his name just like you like to hear your name. And I was studying something this week, and, you know, the Jewish people, their name of God was Yahweh, all right? And I was studying that, and I was like, what, you know, Yahweh. And this is where that came from. It's actually your breath. Breathe in, out. It's Yahweh. So every breath you take is from God. So we need to thank God. I mean, sometimes we forget about just the things in life. We need to thank God for our very breath. Take time to delight in the details. God loves it, you know, when you thank him for, like what we did earlier, when we thank God for healing Max, you know, little Audrey's dog, you know. Thank him for his character. Thank God for his character that he never changes. And thank him for his faithfulness. Thank God each day. And some of you may want to do this. Set a thankful alarm on your phone. Put an alarm on it. It just says, give God thanks. Set an alarm. Every day at this certain time, I'm going to give God thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you want to know the will of God, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything give thanks. There's something to give thanks about. Unthankful people stay stuck where they are. Thankful people move on into God's blessings. And it's just that simple. If you're here today, and this is something I prayed about, you know, this morning over this message. If you're here today and you feel stuck, I think one of the most simplest things you can do is start thanking God for right where you're at, thanking Him for what He's doing right now in your life, and all of a sudden, doors are going to begin to open up for you. You're going to move into His blessings, okay? So if you feel that way, start being thankful. Look at somebody and say thank you. Everybody learn something today? Everybody going to walk out of here being thankful today? Okay, all right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure before we leave today that everyone here knows Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I do this every Sunday here at the church, and it's just an invitation for you to ask Jesus into your heart, into your life, because the Word says in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says that when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, when you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then it says in verse 13 out of Romans 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's just that simple. So I want to lead you in what I call the prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I believe You are the Son of God. And You died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear Your voice. I accept You as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank You for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer and you've never done this before, your very next step of obedience is following the Lord and water baptism. Okay, and so we can, if you want to do that, we can do that next Sunday, all right? Babe, will you come up here? Jay's going to come up here, and we're going to speak a blessing over you guys out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. I want everybody to stand up and hear this morning. Did everybody learn something today about being thankful? Okay, it's a very simple thing, but I promise you it'll revolutionize your life when we start being thankful to God and to other people that He has around us. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hug somebody's neck and say thank you this morning.